Grace to you and peace, viewers, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't remember if I've ever told you this before. Public speaking brings a series of professional hazards, one of which is that you might tell the same story multiple times. But in the elementary school I went to, one of the teachers disciplined students by requiring them to copy Lincoln's Gettysburg Address in quantity. So let's say you were talking out of turn, that was two addresses. Passing notes, if the teacher caught you, he would just look at you and say, that's four addresses, and then you would be set off with your paper and your pencil copying, 47 years ago, our forefathers brought on forth upon this continent, you know, that sort of thing. Now, I did not have to copy it too many times, but I did a few, and I can still remember a good deal of it from memory. As a discipline went, I suppose it was a rather clever move. It interrupted the misbehavior. It imposed an unpleasant consequence, because copying is not very fun work. But at the same time, it offered something of lasting value. The Gettysburg Address is one that sets forth some of our nation's best ideals and is a marvelous piece of rhetoric. Now, I thought about that fourth grade punishment when I was reading this week about scribes in the Bible. People are astonished at Jesus' teaching, Mark says, because he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. But what does that mean? Actually, scribes were very important people, highly respected, because they were among the few in the population at that time when Jesus lived who could read and write. She's also they could take notes at the annual meeting. They could teach. And above all, they could copy. The scriptures, that is. In those days before the printing press or digital media, they would make sure that the synagogues had scrolls of the Bible, the law, and the prophets so that people could read and hear God's word. And so that is also how scribes, who truly were like the secretaries of that age, running the range from people who just kept the office notes to people who were like, you know, like when we say Secretary General of the UN, that was the word scribe covers that range of activities. This is how they also became, that ability to copy the word of God in the scriptures became the way that they became religious teachers. When you copy something over and over, you learn it. You know where to find the answers. You learn things by heart. But here's the thing. Copying has a downside. It's not the original thing. It can often become like doing anything over and over. It becomes a habit after a while. No matter how much I or any of my fourth grade classmates committed the Gettysburg Address to heart, being able to recite it or being able to write it out longhand is not the same thing as what happened when President Lincoln stood on that battlefield and said, "It is for us the living, rather to be dedicated here to that unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus so far nobly advanced." The word in action is a different kind of thing altogether. So Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. When Jesus came to Capernaum, his speech, his teaching, was the word in action. He didn't just copy the book. He was the book. Or perhaps we should say he is the living word of God in the flesh. Everything that the scriptures offer, he is. His teaching comes forth from his own very being, from the depths of his power and ability as God's son, from himself. And people listened, and they knew it. They knew that this was no copy. This was the original word, bursting forth on the scene with startling newness. He commanded the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him. What is this, they asked themselves, a new teaching with authority? He did not teach them as the scribes did, who were learned and skilled, but who relied on copying. Now, I thought about the roles of scribes as copyists and how Jesus was so different from them this week, because I was thinking about how much of our lives depend on copying. And I will just say, by way of explanation for this computer that's on the pulpit today, I really do value the technology we have that allows us to copy. Today in this church office, it was broken, which is why I'm looking at my scripture notes off of a computer. I wish I had paper. I feel better with it. But a lot of our church practices, and actually really a lot of our lives practices, often depend on doing the same thing over and over. It's very hard to do anything from scratch, to make change or do anything startlingly brand new. So like every week in the church office, we take last week's bulletin, make a digital copy, delete last week's readings, add this week's readings, go to print, and then print and print and print. And how much of our lives in some ways are kind of like that? And where is Jesus coming into them? To interrupt us and the ways we live our lives like scribes. How does he break the cycle of constant copying with a new teaching with authority? Now, of course, there was also the year 2020, which is now steadily creeping into the year 2021, where nothing in our church life was easily copied. Although, as a couple of you were reminding me in the church office today, the life of pandemic itself felt like one long Groundhog Day, where we were doing the same thing over and over again. Nevertheless, the life of our congregation in some ways felt like it was constantly being built by scratch, like the bulletin. We had to change the order of service, and then we made a bulletin for Zoom, and then we made a bulletin for mail, and then when we went to in-person, then we made a bulletin for the in-person, and so then there were three bulletins, and sometimes we had to make little changes in all of them to make them make sense, and it was like building the whole thing from the bottom up. And in a few minutes at our annual meeting, we'll reflect on all that we were able to do by God's grace this year when we had to do so much from scratch. And we'll look for hope, look with hope to the future for this year, whatever that brings. But one thing that seems fairly certain is that whatever comes next, and whatever we reach, whatever normal looks like, our life as a community of faith will not be a copy of whatever was happening in 2019. Last week after worship, for example, some of us were reflecting on Zoom for what a useful tool it is, and how there are a number of people who maybe wouldn't ever come to an in-person Bible study because of like their life circumstances, but they're able to make a Zoom Bible study. So that may be a kind of thing we want to take forward in the future. I mentioned then, and I'll mention again now, so for those of you who are hearing for this for the second time, I'm sorry, but I think it's important to just name. I've been learning in a lot of conversations among clergy, coaches, and people in the wider church that when churches come out of disaster situations, which, and this is what this is for nearly every church throughout the world, there can be a time of, you know, turbulence and transition when it seems like things are supposed to be getting back to normal. It's not when congregations are doing the new thing. It's when they have to come to grips with all the changes that have happened, when all that they've been through, that the demons, let's just say, the unclean spirits can really come out. When conflict can overwhelm a congregation, or when people and pastors get exhausted and move on. And I know, like, our synod is starting to brace for this and wondering, what is it that we can do to help our congregations as we move forward? And I'm mentioning this not because I want to be a pessimist, but because, first of all, I think we're always better off when we sort of name things that are hard. That takes the power away. But I want to name it in part because I think our gospel reading today has something to say to us when we look to the future, whatever it brings. If our faith was only about copying things, under any circumstances, pandemic, no pandemic, if our faith was only about copying things, if it was only ever about being able to do the same things the way we've always done them, if that were the sum of our lives as God's people, well, then this would only be a disaster. And after a disaster, then we would only be left with the unclean spirits of stress and distress for company. But our gospel from Mark discloses, that God has something far different in mind. In fact, the gospel discloses that God always has something far different in mind. Or perhaps it would be better for me to say God has someone far different in mind. One who teaches with authority and not one who copies. God has Jesus in mind for us. On a Sabbath in Capernaum, he led from his very being, from himself, taught with newness. On a Friday on Calvary, on the cross, the powers of sin did their best to shut this new teaching up, to put an end to his authority. But God raised him up. And now he lives and he continues his work to teach us with authority and not as the scribes. He invites us to look at his life and to find our hope and our future in him, in his being, in his ability, in his power. And he is always doing that, no matter what we are experiencing. But especially in this time, when making copies cannot be our plan, when the authority of yesterday's scribes will not help us in tomorrow's future, this is what we are given to remember. With Jesus, it's always new. It's always grace. It is always of God and always with God. Amen.